love, joy, and now peace. Peace. Praise God. Stop for a minute and think, what is the opposite of peace? The opposite of peace. What word would you use? The opposite of peace. Turmoil? Anxiety? Conflict? Wars? Fear? Unrest? There's a lot of things the devil can throw at us. Get in there. A lot of those things. Amen. When I asked myself that question, I thought of stress. Now, stress can keep you sharp, you know, but too much stress can make you dull, worn out. Somebody said, I'd rather be worn out than rust out. Well, either way, you're out. That's not a choice. We want to hold on to what God gives to us. Stand, if you would, to turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians, the third chapter, verse number 15, and we'll read this verse together. All right. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That sounds like a pretty good plan, doesn't it? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. There's a yielding. There's a surrendering. Amen. Some people like to be upset. I like things to be in a turmoil and unrest, you know, those other terms that you mentioned. But thank God we can let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We've been called to that one body. And thank the Lord, we can be thankful to Him. You may be seated. Here's a little game we're going to play. I want you to fill in the blank. I say a phrase, and you will be able to complete it, I think. Okay? You ready? I am ready to throw in the... I am at the end of my... I am just a bundle of... My life is falling... You're doing pretty good. I am at my wits. Wow. Okay, we better stop there. You're doing too good. Okay, those are common stress indicators. Even though they're common phrases and we sometimes say them in a joking manner, still they're indicators of stress. And I know we have the poster. You get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Life gives you lemons, make lemonade, and, you know, stuff like that. There does have to be a tenacity. There does have to be a dedication. But sometimes, my goodness, the stress just gets overwhelming. And that's not God's will. Let the peace of God rule. Amen. I'm thankful the Lord dealt with worry and anxiety in His word. He emphasized, you are worth more than the ravens. You are worth more than the lilies. And He made a comparison of those and how the Lord provides for them. Paul, you visit 2 Corinthians 11 and look at the long list of stress-filled factors that he went through. My goodness, it's amazing. Endured a number of stressful situations. And yet, Philippians 4 and 6 is what he wrote. Now, Philippians 4 and 6, we'll put that up on the screen. in the King James, and I want to share it with you from the Message. It's kind of fun I'll always come back to King James. Certainly, it's the authorized and the one that hadn't gone through thousands of changes. Amen. But it's interesting to look at other versions. And since there are many computers and many devices, you have opportunity to look through a number of free programs and see what other translations say. Here's what the Message says. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And I particularly like that phrase, let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Amen. Because that needs to be where we go immediately. And it doesn't have to be a full-blown prayer meeting. It can be just the name of Jesus. It can be just a whispered, oh, God, I need your help right now. God, I need your peace to flood my soul. You know, like that. Praise God. The Living Bible puts it this way. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And again, real good advice, because the Lord does desire us to manifest the fruit of His Spirit. Because, again, those are very distinguishing factors that will set you apart from the world. I know we talk about holiness, we talk about godliness, and those are very important, as I'll show you here at the end of the lesson. But those distinguishing factors of positive influences, positive attributes that the Lord wants to show in your life. And thank God there's peace. Spiritual peace, we have peace with the Lord, Romans 5:1. We are justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're getting close to tax time. There was a man who sent a letter to the IRS with a check that said, here's some of the back taxes that I owe. If I can't get any sleep, I'll send the rest. Some people want to just, you know, do enough, just enough to assuage the guilt a little bit. And no, we can have peace with God. Amen. Thank the Lord that there's that peace we can have, and we can keep that peace. Not something that's just going to blow away. A redemptive, reconciled relationship with God is something that is ongoing. It's called living for God. Amen. Living. Then there's emotional peace. Once we have peace with God, it's possible to have the peace of God. And that's what we read about in Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule. And other translations say, be the umpire. The umpire calls it the way it is, and that's the way the peace of God needs to be. And in your hearts is the key. Let the Lord be in your heart completely. His word in your heart, and the peace of God in your heart is going to follow. Amen. Relational peace as well as emotional peace and spiritual. Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's not going to be possible with some people. As we said, some people like stress. They like turmoil. They like fighting. But as much as lieth in you, amen. Don't step into that realm. Don't fall into that trap. Hebrews 12:14. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We often focus, and the last portion of that verse needs to have focus, especially in the ungodly world that we're in today. My word. You almost don't want to go to your website to look at the news, what they think is appropriate anymore. It's just sad. But follow peace with all men and holiness. Praise God. Proverbs 16 and 7. We're talking about relational peace. Proverbs 16 and 7. When a man's ways please the Lord. That's our focus. We're trying to please the Lord. There are many people who want to please the culture, please society, please the crowd, please friends. When we please the Lord, He makes even His enemies to be at peace with Him. And that's relational peace now. So, spiritual peace, emotional peace, relational peace, thank God. No matter what aspect we're looking at here, the fruit of the Spirit, being peace, can minister to each of those. The Lord gives peace. John 14 and 27. And the Lord distinguishes the peace that He gives to the peace that is in the world. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Notice how He's emphasizing that giving, that leaving. It's there. Praise God. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That let not your heart be troubled is a repeat from verse 1. Verse 1 in chapter 14 starts out that way. Let not your heart be troubled. He emphasized, I'm leaving my peace with you. I'm giving my peace to you. Praise God. And He distinguishes it from the peace of the world. I suppose the world could, the world looks at what perhaps would bring peace in their circumstances, and oftentimes it's things. It's like we distinguished last time, happiness is based on happenings, and joy is an inner dwelling. Praise God. I don't know who figured this out, but somebody made the statement, in the last 3,500 years, there's only been 286 years of peace. Not even 10%. Constant conflict, constant wars. And Jesus said, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. That's going to happen. And I think it was Brother Treese who said in the Greek, nations rising against nations. He said, it's ethnic groups. And oh my, we're seeing that very strongly now. We were shocked of what it goes on in Africa, tribe against tribe, and in Bosnia and Serbia, that conflict, goodness, that was back in the 90s, and the conflict there. But we're seeing it now. And somebody made a comment on the website that I look at for news that there were four churches burned in Nigeria. Christian women were being raped and murdered. And it probably wouldn't even make a blip on mainstream media. I didn't look. I saw it on this website. You know, something happens in New Zealand and, oh, the world is in an uproar. But look what happens in Nigeria and there's hardly even a mention of it. That's wars and rumors of wars. We definitely need to be in prayer for those who are being persecuted because it was Muslims that did that. Muslims burned four churches. Muslims raped and murdered Christian women. And you're not going to hear about it. That's the world we're in right now. And God help us to have peace and the peace that He desires to give. It's not based on circumstances. We know that. It's peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4 and 7. Brother and Sister Crumpacker, elder Brother and Sister Crumpacker, the couple that died in the airplane crash, pastored in Kenai. And their son, Jim, and his wife, Karen, lost their first boy. Spinal meningitis. And they visited in our home. We were in Ketchikan at that time, and they came through. Sister Crumpacker was promoting Mother's Memorial. And Sister Glover asked, how did you make it through that time? How did you, that must have been a horrible time. How did you make it? And Brother Crumpacker's answer was very unique. He said, it was like we were in a harbor, like we were sheltered in a harbor, and we could see the storm going by. We could see that, you know, it was bad, but we were sheltered in this harbor. I think that's a real good description of peace that passes understanding. And thank God that there's that kind of peace that the Lord gives to us. How can you describe it? How can you explain it? It goes beyond understanding. And thank God the Lord, who is beyond understanding, we can't comprehend him, but he gives his peace. Amen. Proverbs 14 and 30. Here's the New International rendering. Proverbs 14 and 30. A heart at peace gives life to the body. A heart at peace gives life to the body. So that power of the peace that God gives. Amen. Thank the Lord that he provides that. You know, power and peace almost sometimes that seem to be at different ends of the continuum. But the prophecy about the Messiah, you know, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That goes on to say of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So the statement of peace twice being established there. But government and peace, how could that coexist? The more we let the Lord in control of our lives, that's government, the more his peace is going to be there. Praise God. So, obeying God's principles is a key. I'm going to share some keys with you here. Psalm 119, 165. Psalm 119, 165, the Bible talks about great peace. Not just peace, but great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Praise God. Obeying the principles of the word of the Lord. That is how to get peace. Isaiah 48 and 18. We're talking about obeying here again. Isaiah 48 and 18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. If you'd listened to them, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Simply listen and obey. That's a big key, isn't it? And accepting his leadership in our lives. Accepting his forgiveness and forgiving yourself. Because guilt destroys peace. Guilt will erode it. Guilt will eat it away. But thank God, his forgiveness brings peace. Micah 7 and 18. Micah 7 and 18. Who is a God like unto thee, That's a good question. There isn't any. Praise God. That pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Oh my. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for pardon. Thank God for the Lord extending his love to us. If we confess our sins, he's going to heap condemnation on you. No, that isn't how it reads. 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And verse 7 in that chapter says, his blood cleanses us from all sin. Oh, the devil doesn't like that. The devil wants you to ignore that or not believe it, not claim it, because he wants to heap guilt upon you. But thank God, there's a cleansing that his blood does from all sin, from all unrighteousness, because of his forgiveness. Amen. And so we accept that. We focus on God's presence. Isaiah 26 and 3. Isaiah 26 and 3. Corrie Ten Boom, you're familiar with her story. If you've read The Hiding Place, you've seen, you know, the hand of God in very difficult circumstances. This is what she said about her time in the concentration camp. The blacker the night around us grew, the brighter and truer and more beautiful burned the Word of God. She just anchored her soul. And the Bible talks about it being an anchor. Amen. Thank the Lord. That's what we can have. So Isaiah 26 and 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Everybody say perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Oh, thank God. Perfect peace. That's what the Lord desires to give. That's what he can bless with. Amen. If we look within, we'll be depressed. If we look around us, we can be distressed. If we look to Jesus, we can be at rest. Because that's what he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise God. I like what Corrie Ten Boom also said about the blood of Jesus. She said, the blood of Jesus never cleansed an excuse. We don't want excuses. We want the blood of Jesus to cleanse us. Praise God. Number four, trust God's purpose. Proverbs 3 and 5. Proverbs 3 and 5, also verse 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Trust, lean, acknowledge. Thank God. Sometimes we look for an explanation. Sometimes we try to figure things out. Trusting and leaning and acknowledging probably is not going to find those, but you're going to keep going. You're just going to keep walking, keep moving, keep developing. Amen. Because he's going to direct your paths. He's going to walk with you in that path. He leadeth me in righteousness, paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Follow directions. Amen. One fellow said to you, come to a fork in the road, take it. Now, which way? The Lord's going to give you the direction. Praise God. Okay, here's a question that you can win a prize. You ever look at the, how many beans in the jar? Okay, this is one of those kind of questions. How many words are in the King James Version of the Bible? How many words? Brother Greg, you know that. Anybody want to guess? How many words are in the Bible? 470,000, you said? 100. Oh, okay. Well, that's a guess. Anybody else want to guess? How many? Okay, I'll tell you. Nobody wants to guess. 783,137. That's a lot of words, isn't it? And listen to this. Oops is not one of them. God doesn't say oops. So trust him. Amen. Isaiah 40 and verse 4. If you've listened to Handel's Messiah, you've heard the guy hitting about 20 notes. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. The Lord can do that for you. Amen. And oh man, we go through rough places. The trail gets crooked. The mountains get high, the valleys get low. But the Lord's going to help you through every one of them. Praise God. We put our trust in him. You know why Peter could sleep in the prison? Remember, he's in prison in Acts 12. James had been executed. Peter's next. How in the world could he be sleeping? Especially between two guards. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Paul said it, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Somebody made this comparison. The reason Peter could sleep in prison is he saw Jesus asleep in the storm. And he had to wake him up. Master, don't you care that we perish? And he's the seasoned sailor. He's the one who should have just been, not too bad. We're going to make it here in about an hour. We should be on shore. He's the fisherman. He's the one that cried out, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And he saw the Lord asleep, so he decided he could sleep in the storm. I don't know. We'll have to ask him that when we get there. Be sure you remember that, Brother Greg. Ask him how come he was sleeping in the prison. An angel interrupted his sleep, led him out of prison, and Peter went to a prayer meeting. Kind of funny, the reaction of those who were desperately praying and calling upon God, believing the Lord. Rhoda didn't even open the door, come running back in. It's Peter. Oh, it's his ghost. Yeah, that's probably how we would act too, I guess. All right, so the last key, ask for peace from God. Lord, let your peace rule in my heart. Amen. And once you pray, expect that peace. The Lord is going to provide it for you. Combine peace and prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, and expect it. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keeping your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Man, what a promise. Amen. But the devil loves for us to ignore that. Or to say, this circumstance is beyond that. I don't think it's going to work. It'll work. It'll work. Don't let the Word of God get choked. The Bible talk about that. The seed that's in the, among thorns, and the Word is choked. Luke 8 and 14. That which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And bring no fruit to perfection. Cares and riches and pleasures. We encounter those pretty commonly. They're there. They're going to attach themselves to you. They're going to block your path. They're going to call and holler and hoot and try to get your attention. But you don't let the Word of God get choked out of your lives. Instead, let pressures and stress and all of those things that the devil tries to pull your peace away from, let those things produce prayer. Not panic, but prayer. Easier said than done, by far. But we definitely have to work through it. Have you seen a new, almost a fad, almost? And some people have carried it to interesting extremes. Service animals. A turkey? A snake? A pig? Service animals. Stress management seminars will sometimes advise that you talk to your pet, because it's an unconditional listener. Talk to your pet. Well, a heart-to-heart with your hamster is not going to do as much as casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. But amazing, and people try to bring those things on the airplane. Oh, boy. But calling upon the Master, how much more that will do. 1 Peter 5 and 7. Peter has got some background with what he's saying here, given what he went through. So many experiences that Peter went through. He knows what he's talking about when he says, cast your care upon him. Oh, wait, we better back up. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I think I misquoted Philippians 4 and 7. I always do that. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. I don't understand it, God. I don't know what's going on, but I need your peace that passes all understanding. Amen. And I'm going to cast all my care upon you, because you care for me. The hamster doesn't care. You got to feed it. But thank God, peace and calm and all the storms of life. That's amazing. We're getting to the Easter time, and all of the events that accompanied the Easter story, both before and after the resurrection. Just amazing, just tremendous. Praise God. Capitalize on this time. This is the time. I know there's eggs and bunnies and all of that stuff. By the way, we need to have a quick meeting after this service about how we're going to organize things for that day. But I know there's that stuff that goes on. But most people know what Easter is about. Amen. Invite them to the house of the Lord. Tell them, this is a good time to be in church. As springtime is a resurrection time, you know, everything's going to turn green here in a little bit, and the birds are coming back, the fish will be coming back, you know, just a lot of good resurrection-type things that are happening, and certainly the resurrection of the Lord. Five times the Lord spoke to his disciples, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." He just kept repeating it. He would appear to them. They would be frightened. He would say, "Peace be unto you." And thank God he can step into our circumstances. When there's turmoil, when there's stress, when there's unrest, when there's all those things that you mentioned, peace be unto you. Thank God he can do it. Amen. Now, the disciples needed that peace to recover from the turmoil of the crucifixion that they had just seen, the burial that they had witnessed, the end of their hope of the Messiah, and all that that meant. It's over. It's done. He's gone. They needed him to show up and say, "Peace be unto you." Oh, my goodness, what that must have done for them. Amen. And then, 50 days later, praise God, after the Passover, Pentecost, Holy Ghost, Spirit of God. Amen. Ah, how powerful, and what an impact they were to make on the world. And they needed that peace. Praise God. And thank the Lord. He knows what you need. And he steps in and does that work. Praise God. All right. 2 Peter 3 and 14. This is where I mentioned to you how we know holiness and godliness and so on is very important. We know we can't overlook that. Here's what Peter wrote again. Peter had a lot of insights in the two short letters that he wrote. And he's rehearsing some of the things that are going to come upon the world in the end times. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." What things is he talking about? What things should we be looking for? You look at the third chapter of his second letter, and you recognize there's going to be scoffers, there's going to be mockers, there's going to be those who say, "Oh, we've heard about the coming of the Lord for years and years, and those who preached it are dead and gone, and he still hasn't come." Peter talks about one day with the Lord, 1,000 years as one day. And then he goes a little bit of history, Noah, the flood, the word of God brought that about. That same word, the same word by the same God, has reserved the world unto fire. And the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. And the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord, is going to happen. Those are the things that we're looking for. And according to his promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So it counts. It matters. It makes a difference. Have righteousness. Be holy, without spot, blameless. Thank God. Walking with him in the way that he would desire for you to. Be diligent about that. There's so many who are so lackadaisical about their walk with God. Like, it doesn't really matter. You know. Yes, it does. Amen. Be found of him without spot and blameless, because those are what brings about the aspect of peace in our lives. And thank God that's the fruit of the Spirit that he wants to manifest in our lives. Again, those nine fruit are all attractive. They're all positive. They're all good. It's not there's nothing criminal, there's nothing illegal, there's nothing law-breaking about it. It's all all to design to make you stand out. You're different. Amen. And we oftentimes say, you know, that holiness makes us different. And it does. It does. And especially we see the way society is going. My goodness. Ridiculous. Some of the things that are considered fashionable. Makes you stand out. But the fruit of the Spirit as well make you stand out. And thank God that produces an identity of God working in your life. And thank the Lord. That's the emphasis that he wants to make. Okay, let's stand. Thank God for his peace. Amen. Peace that displaces. Those hardships, those difficulties, those trials, tests, temptations, all of those things can drive a wedge into our peace and start to separate it, start to remove it from us. But peace actually does the same thing. Peace pushes out all of that garbage. Peace displaces those worries, those doubts, those anxieties. Peace puts a fence around you. Praise God. It keeps in the things that God wants to put in you, and it keeps out the things that the devil is trying to push on you. Thank God. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, all of those positive things. Thank the Lord we can let it be a part of us. Come and gather here for just a few minutes now. Praise God. You know, the reason I ask you to come to the front and just instead of standing where you are is I like the focus that it puts on us or puts in us, a focus. What are we coming for? Why, what are we going to stand here in the front for? Because I want us to focus on what the Lord wants to provide for us and wants to bless us. Praise God. And here's an old, old song that I want us to sing together. Praise God. And just realize this is God's blessing. This is God's touch. Amen. This is what he wants to give us. In Jesus' name, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Oh, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down.